Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. Today's message is brought by Steve Parker.
Yes. Okay. Did you like James' new drum?
Loved it.
It's cool, isn't it? Made it this year, he says. Yeah, it's all right, isn't it? So I was going to do the message by African jungle drums tonight then. So do you remember watching Tarzan when you were a bit younger? And they used to give it the old... What was the title? What do you know? That's what the title was. The only trouble with that kind of mail is everybody reads it, don't they? Thanks, Faye. That was a nice laugh. You carry on sitting there. That's good. All right. It was for me, wasn't it? Yeah. Okay. So, what do you know? That's the title. The Bible is full of things that God wants us to have, ways in which he wants us to have a closer relationship with himself. Okay, and one of those things is by or through knowledge. God has given you a brain. Did you know that? Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. Some people's are better than others, but he's given us all a brain to use, and he's given us knowledge that we can have of him. So, first of all, I want to talk about the wrong kind of knowledge, the kind of knowledge that in the old King James says, knowledge putteth up. That's quite difficult to say. Putteth up. Putteth. Knowledge puffs up. But yeah, if you read it in the old King James, putteth. I can't even say it properly. Yeah. Putteth up. Yeah. All right. And we're going to get into that scripture in a little bit. Take a look and see what it says. But yes, the kind of knowledge that can give you a big head. I'm sure you've seen people on telly or people who like to spout off with their own opinions because, they think they're a little bit cleverer than everybody else, or they're good at their subject and think that everybody else is ignoramus because they don't know as much as, or they think they know more than everybody else. And that kind of person can be a little bit irritating, a little bit annoying, and you need the grace of God to be able to love them. But God loves them, and he can bring them down to size if they're Christian. God often does that. He humbles the proud, doesn't he? And exalts the humble. So, your knowledge of God needs to be anchored in love. And we're going to read a portion of scripture from 1 Corinthians 8, verse 1 to 3. You all right back there? Wasn't anybody falling over? It's just something that dropped everybody, all right? So don't worry. No first aid required, all right. So this is Paul talking to the Corinthians who had a bit of an issue going on. Now, regarding your question about food that has been offered to idols. Yes, we know that we all have knowledge about this issue. But while knowledge makes us feel important, it is love that strengthens the church. Anyone who claims to know all the answers doesn't really know very much. But the person who loves God is the one whom God recognizes. Yeah. Anybody here love God?
Yeah.
God recognizes you. God recognizes you. Good that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so in this context, you can see he was writing to the Corinthians about food sacrificed to idols. And they had some questions about it. Is it right to eat food that is sacrificed to idols or not? And the right answer was, well, yeah, you can eat any food because idols aren't real. And the gods that people worship through these wooden things, they don't exist. So, hey, God has made all things and all things are going to be good. And yes, you can eat them with a caveat. Because people were coming out of these pagan religions. People were coming out of the fact that they used to worship idols as God. And once they come out of that, if they saw a Christian eating food that had been sacrificed to an idol, they'd be thinking, hey, hang about. Aren't they worshiping a pagan god by eating this food? And in that way, it was causing them to stumble as a new believer. It was causing a problem for them. So Paul was saying, in that regard, it is wrong to eat food that has been sacrificed to idols because it's causing somebody to have a problem. And a contemporary example, perhaps, is it right to eat meat that has been prepared in an Islamic way, what they call halal meat. Halal. Is that kind of Arabic enough for you? Anyway, well, truly, it makes no difference because there's only one God and his name is Yahweh, Jehovah, and not Allah. And we can know that it's all right to eat that, but if it's going to offend another Jesus follower, hey, don't do it. You know, let's not cause somebody else to stumble just because we know that we've got the freedom to be able to do whatever we want. So that was the law. Keep love at the foremost. So love trumps knowledge every time. Okay. So are we to do away with knowledge? Are we to kind of throw it out and say, doesn't matter about knowledge, let's just concentrate on the love all the time? And I'd say to that, no, sir. Let's take a look in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. Some things that God has to say about knowledge. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Just keep it up there for a second, Keith. I think it's great that as we're growing in knowledge, God is adding more grace and more peace to us. The things are connected. The more you know about God, the more you know God yourself, then God is going to give you more grace and he's going to give you more peace. Anybody need more grace and peace? Yeah. Awesome, isn't it? Yeah. I thought it was great, the connection that there is there. 2 Peter 1, verse 5 through to 8. Here we go. Peter speaking again. Simon Peter, in view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence. And moral excellence with knowledge. And knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance. And patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we can see that knowledge is something that we need to supplement our faith in Jesus with. It's important to God that we have knowledge, that we know about God and all that he's got for us, all that he wants to do in us, all that he wants to do through us, because that is going to shape our lives. Right, so God wants us to have as much knowledge of him as possible. Not just head knowledge, but head knowledge that is going to lead to heart knowledge. It's important to get it into your heart. And how do you do that? What's the difference between head knowledge and heart knowledge? And the key for us is relationship. There are those who can study God's word and they never get to know God. Or they can study God's word and they never get to see Jesus. Because it's all head knowledge. It's not gone through to the heart. It's not been bought out of a relationship with Jesus that then gets us into a relationship with Father God. So yeah, we're blessed. We are really blessed to know that we can have Jesus as our friend, as our Lord, as our Savior, somebody we can call on, somebody we can talk to. We have been brought into relationship with God through Jesus. How good is that? We're the most blessed people on the face of the earth. We really are. All right, we might not be the richest people on the face of the earth. Spiritually speaking, we are. You know what I mean? You could swap all the riches in the world. Forget that. Rav, what we've got. Amen? Amen. Okay. So, we can experience God through the gifts of the Holy Spirit that is in one another. We're called the body of Christ. Once you become a Christian, you become part of the body of Christ. It's an analogy and a bit of a mystery that God causes us to become a body, the body of Jesus here on earth. Yeah, the church, this local church, is a body of Christ within Barlston. We've got a couple of other bodies within Barlston as well. And we can learn about God through one another. You know, if you see someone that's particularly loving, you say, ah, yeah, they're just so full of the love of God, or they're so full of the grace of God, they're so full of the patience of God. You know, we can learn about God through what he's doing, through the gifts that God has given to one another. But we're never going to fully know everything we can about God here on the earth. And Paul alluded to that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. When he said, we only know in part, we only see in part, but when we get to heaven, that's when we're going to know everything that we need to know. That's going to be a good time, yeah? But God doesn't want us to stop growing in knowledge whilst we're here down on earth. We've got to make sure that we don't stop learning. Some people say that if you've stopped learning, you're going to stop growing. Don't ever stop learning. It doesn't matter what age you are. You might be the oldest in the room. You might be the youngest in the room. Don't think you've arrived. You haven't. There's so much more that God can speak to us. You know, we've been confessing that scripture out this morning, haven't we? The latter days are going to be greater than the former days. You know, there is more knowledge of God that God has got to get to you so that you can pass it out to others. You know, your knowledge of God is going to be so important to get into those latter days, the greater blessing that God wants to pour into your life. It's great to know that you've come this far, but God has got so much for you, so much more knowledge that you can know of him and experience of him. Right, so we need to know God and who he is, and we can find him in his book called the Bible. Okay, it's no mystery, nobody gets any special advances. It's there for us all. God has written down his word, and it was the inspired writings from men who knew their God personally. Great, isn't it, when you think of it like that? That God downloaded some stuff into some men. They put it on the page for us, and we can learn from their experience. All the things that they knew about God, we can learn from their experience through the Bible. And they were able to do that because they were in a relationship with God. God spoke to them. They wrote it down for us. The knowledge of who God is and what he does is often linked to his names, what he calls himself. I was going to try and subdivide it up, but I couldn't do it because oftentimes the names of God describe what he does and what his character is like. So they're being lumped in together. And in Genesis chapter 1, he is Elohim, the creator God, who made all things. Written on the walls, inside and out, in this place. In Genesis chapter 17, we find him talking to his friend Abraham. He revealed himself as El Shaddai, God Almighty. Fancy having God Almighty as your friend. Awesome. And the pictorial language that is used there in the Hebrew is as God as the full-breasted one, the one who brings full nourishment. It's a description of what he does. He satisfies us with everything we need. He's saying to Abraham, he's saying to Sarah, I'm going to give you everything you need. I am the full-breasted one. I can satisfy you. And he can do that for us as well. He can feed us. He can give us exactly what we need. There's no kind of marriage. There's no battle of the sexes up in heaven. To God, there's no kind of gender issue. It's kind of a funny illustration to think of. God's the full-breasted one. How does that work? You know, but God's just using a pictorial language. It says up in heaven, there is no marriage. You're not given in marriage. That's what Jesus taught us. We're all just one great big family of God, all firstborn sons of God. And we're receiving everything that God has got for us through his firstborn son, Jesus. Don't know whether that blows your mind. You might think, oh, but I like my marriage. It's really good. Just know that it's going to be even better. And whatever is going on in heaven, it's going to be 10 times better anyway. So if you've got a great marriage now, fantastic. It's going to be even better up in heaven when we get there. Okay, back to the story. Back to Abraham. When God's your friend, he's got your back. And yeah, that was good news for him because he was a stranger in the land that God had taken him to. He'd come from home, Ur, the Chaldeans, as they say in the West Country. Ur of the Chaldeans. Okay, God had taken him from there, brought him into a strange land. He was a wealthy man. So, if you've got wealth, it's going to make yourself a target. Yeah? There could have been thieves, there could have been robbers who would have wanted to come along and take what God had given to him. So there he was. He knew that God had got his back. And he'd married a lady called Sarai, as it was at the time, later became Sarah. And she was a foxy-looking lady. She's a good-looking girl. And he said, don't tell anybody around this place that you're my wife. They might fill me in and try and take you for themselves. And let's paraphrase, like, it's the message version, all right? So that was the agreement they had. Bit of a strange agreement, but he knew God had his back. Okay, and one of the kings who was around at the time, he was a king, he was boss, did whatever he liked, kind of saw this foxy-looking lady. Like her, I'm going to take her into my palace. And so I just imagine Abraham having a word with his friend God. And God turns up in Abimelech's dream. Mate, you're as good as dead because of that woman. Scary stuff, huh? Even if you're a king, scary stuff. God Almighty turns up in the middle of your dream and he's going, what have I done wrong? He said, you're as good as dead if you touched that woman. I haven't touched her. I said, yeah, it's a good job as well. Because I'm going to fill you in, mate, if you do. All right. And your mates. His own nation was actually under a curse at that time because he dared to lay hands, or, well, was thinking about laying hands on Abraham's wife. And God got Abraham to pray for him, and then the whole nation was healed. You can read all about that in Genesis chapter 20. It's only a short chapter, a bit of homework for you. You'll enjoy it. I know I did. I thought, wow, God, that's awesome. You are my friend and you're watching my back all of the time. You know, oftentimes we hear, don't we, about Christians, even modern day, being martyred, especially over in the Middle East. IS is kind of exterminating whole Christian communities. And they're signing their own death warrant. When they're doing that, they're touching God's people. And we need to pray for God's mercy for them, that they find Jesus and turn from the ways. Otherwise, they are in serious, big trouble. And that's the way it is. Sometimes God takes people to be with him. Sometimes he leaves them on planet Earth for a purpose and for a reason. And Abraham, he had a purpose on Earth. He had a purpose on Earth. And that made him absolutely 100% indestructible, you know. Once he had to be, God's promises had to come through for him before he left this earth. And at this time, they hadn't. So he was indestructible. And so was Sarah. And so will you be. God's got a promise that hasn't been fulfilled in your life yet. You're indestructible. God's got your back every time. And we can know God as our friend too. It's a promise, you know. And we're going to read about that. John 15, verse 14 and 15. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. No, you are my friends since I have told you everything the Father has told me. So Jesus makes the Father known to us. We can know friendship with God, with Jesus, because of what Jesus has accomplished for us. Isn't that awesome that we can know God as friend? Jesus makes the Father known and the Spirit makes Jesus known to us. And it's all through relationship. That's the kind of knowledge that God wants to get to us. It's the best kind of knowledge in the world. Right, to Moses, he made himself known as I am. He says, God, who shall I say? Who shall I say has sent me? He said, tell him. Tell the people of Israel. Tell him, I am. Has sent you. I'm here. I'm now. You know, I've arrived on the scene. Things are going to change. I am is here now, and I'm here for the people of Israel. I'm here to get them out of the trouble that they're in. I have heard their cries in the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh, he was beating them down. So he's the here and now deliverer. He's the here and now deliverer for you. Whatever you're going through, if you're going through problems, you're going through troubles, you're going through anguish, God is here for you now. He is known as Yahweh in the Hebrew, the I Am. And Jesus used this title for himself quite regularly throughout the New Testament, especially in John's Gospel, if you read it in the original language. He calls himself I Am. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's taken the title of God and using it for himself. And he is here to deliver from oppression, from sickness, from poverty, from sin, from a wasted life, from anguish, whatever it is that you need deliverance from. Jesus is the great I am for us. Amen? Okay. So God also called Moses his friend. And there are several times that we read in the Bible that Moses was able to convince God to not destroy the Israelites. He was ready to kill them all. Moses said, God, if you do that, what about your great name? Okay, because you're my friend, they're going to listen to you. Isn't that awesome? That a man can influence God Almighty because of the relationship that he had with him. He was able to talk with God face to face. That's available to us. It is. You know, it's not pie in the sky. It's not just for Moses. You know, if you had that same kind of relationship, you could talk to God face to face. I fully believe it. Anyway, let's move on. To David, he was known as the shepherd of Israel. He was the one who guides and protects, meets the needs, he walks with us through the valley of the shadow of death. The one who prepares a table in the presence of the enemy and anoints our head with oil and causes our cup to overflow. It talks about abundance, doesn't it? Your cup is overflowing. God doesn't run out. He's not wasting. It's just that he's never run out. You know, you can't run out with God. You know, he's not wasting anything. It's not as though he's going to dry up. Just keep on pouring. Your cup's going to overflow. Why not? Thank you, God. He's our good shepherd. That's what Jesus called himself in the New Testament. I'm sure he's alluding to the famous Psalm 23. I'm the good shepherd. You know, and he talks about thinking of David. David says, the Lord is my shepherd. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and I've come to give you life, and life in all of its fullness, life in abundance, if you like the older English. And Isaiah, God revealed himself to Isaiah, talking about the Messiah. Messiah. He knew him as the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, everlasting Father, the Prince of Shalom, peace. You need peace in your life. God is the one that brings the peace. And also as Emmanuel, our God, is with us. He reveals who he is through his names. So he's talking about Jesus, and that brings us nicely to the name that is above every name, the name that we can call on, the name that Jesus told us to call upon, the name that God has given that is higher than ever. Jesus, in the Hebrew, Yeshua. Okay, and he was called Jesus. The angel said, you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save. That's what his name means, save, salvation. And if you want to get into heaven, you need a savior. There's only one savior, and his name is Jesus. It's not Muhammad, it's not Buddha, it's not Krishna, or anything else. Only one person was the anointed savior. When you talk about Jesus Christ, or Jesus the Messiah, Messiah means the anointed one. Jesus is the only one that was anointed to save. And he did. He saves and he delivers. And when we get to heaven, we've got to be there saying, I'm with him. We get in through the name of Jesus. We hide ourselves in Christ. And God gives us a glad welcome. See, I know who you are. You're my son Steve in Christ. You know, I'm going to get a glad welcome. And so are you. Going to get a glad welcome. Amen? Right. Yeah. You have to know him as your savior. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And we can know him as so much more. You read throughout the Bible, there's so many more things that he calls himself. I'm just giving you a little snippet. He can be whatever you need him to be in whatever situation. The all-sufficient one. Yeah? He can be what you need all of the time. Anywhere and any time. And it's all through that relationship that we can have with him. And we go into the last book of the Bible. Revelation tells us he is the Lion of Judah, the Lamb of God and the Lion of Judah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is boss. Boss. Faithful and true. I love that. He's got it written on his leg, I believe. Faithful and true. We can trust in him to deliver us. When he says he's going to deliver, he's going to deliver. He can deliver the goods, you know. He's not like Royal Mail, who sometimes get it wrong. He's going to deliver. Gives you the promise, it's going to happen. What he says, he can do. Right, like I say, you find all of that knowledge in the Bible. Read it. Get it into you. You know, get those promises into yourself. They're going to do you so much good. Remember, it's God's love letter to you. To you. Right? And we've got some more knowledge that God wants to get to us as well. I'm going to change it slightly a little bit here. Instead of just looking at us and God, what kind of knowledge does God want us to have? That is, what is the purpose and the calling that he has put upon our life? You know, if he saved you, he saved you for a purpose. Yeah. It wasn't just to get you into heaven, although that's fantastic. It wasn't just so that you could come to church on a Sunday, even though that's fantastic. There's more. He's got a purpose for your life. He's got a calling that he's put on your life. If you're still alive, you're supposed to be fulfilling the calling of God upon your life. Yeah, okay. Jesus said, a friend will obey his commands. And one of the first commands he gave just after he said that was, I want you to love one another. As I have loved you, I want you to love one another. Now that's a high calling, isn't it? That's going to take a lifetime to work out, isn't it? Love one another as I have loved you. So Abraham, he was a man who obeyed God. God said, out of there, over here. Yes, Lord, I'm going to do it. You know, leave your land. Go to the place that I will show you. You're going to be the father of many nations. And he was. To Moses, it was, tell Pharaoh to let my people go. I want you to be a deliverer. Is that the kind of thing that God might be calling you to go and deliver people out of a bad place and bring them into a good place? God uses people. Funny, isn't it? But he does. To David, you're going to be a shepherd to my people, Israel. In other words, you're going to be a leader. And what a leader he was, establishing the kingdom of God in that place, setting up worship, you know, preparing for the temple to be built by his son, overcoming all of the enemies, fighting left, right, and center, and destroying the enemies that were seeking to come against the plans and the purposes of God. To Isaiah, it was, speak my word to whoever I send you. And to Peter, it was, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, the oldies and the youngies. To the disciples, go into all the world and preach the good news, preach the gospel. You know, that call comes down the ages to every single one of us. We're all supposed to go out and preach the good news. To Paul, it was, go preach to the Gentiles, those uncircumcised fellows. Go and preach to them. Bring them into the kingdom as well. Give them the good news. Hey, God is for you as well. Jesus is just too big for one nation. He's got to be for the whole world. Go tell everybody you can come to Jesus. And here we are today in Great Britain, thousands of miles away from Israel, thousands of years down the line, because people heard from God and they did what he said. Missionaries. People who took the good news all over the world. Isn't it amazing how the gospel has just spread out all over the world? We know that there are places where there's still darkness and people need to know about God. Hey, maybe God will call you to one of those. Who knows? Yeah? Maybe there's people that you're going to bring into the kingdom that are going to go. Yeah? Somebody did it all those years ago, and here we are today, sat in the middle of Boston because people obeyed God and told the good news to other people. Awesome, isn't it? So, what has God made available to you that you can use for him? Good question, isn't it? You know, he gives us the power to be able to work for him. All the glory goes to God. Yeah. If God has filled you with his spirit, he did it to give you the power to do what he wants you to do. It's your responsibility to be being filled, the Bible says. So it's a continual thing. You get filled once, and then you get filled again. The fresh anointing that we were talking about, that we prayed about. The Faye's prayed over me today. I pray the fresh anointing is going to come on Steve. And yeah, I need that. You need that. We all need that to be able to do the thing that God is calling us to do. And not just once, but continually being filled with the Holy Spirit, with a fresh anointing, just like that fresh manna that came to the children of Israel day after day after day. It's got to be fresh. Got to bring something fresh to the people. Yeah, keep on feeding them with the good things of God. So, yeah, it's specific. The call of God comes specific to you. He made you as an individual with your fingerprints, with your irises and all the other stuff that is individual to you, your own DNA. Also, the call of God is specific to you, okay? Where do your gifts lie? What gives you a sense of excitement? Just remember in all of that, God is after servants, not the big man or the big woman, you know? That's not what's important in God's eyes. And the disciples had to learn that lesson. And they did. Eventually. All right. So find out what he wants for you. And focus your knowledge upon getting good at the thing God wants you to be good at. You know, you're not going to be good at everything. Sorry, no all-rounders in the kingdom of God. He spread his gifts around, doesn't he? You know, there's other portions of scripture, isn't it? It talks about, you know, we're the body of God. And there's an arm, and there's an eye, you know, they're all important. They all fit together to make the body move, to make the body function. Some of the parts you can't see, parts on the inside. I'm pretty sure I've got a heart. I've never seen it. I've heard it, you know. It's very important to me, and I don't want to be without it. Okay, you know, we're all important pieces of God's body. Cool. And when we're all functioning together, all doing the thing that God wants us, there's a great body to look at. Good looking, gorgeous body of Christ. Find out what God wants for you and concentrate your knowledge on that thing. Yeah, don't ever go to your doctor and get an appointment with him and say, Doc, come to see you. And he say, yeah, what is it you want? I've got a problem with my car. It's not his area of knowledge, the body. Is his area of knowledge, all right? That's what he concentrates on. That's what he's going to be good at. Take your car to your mechanic. Okay. So, perhaps you're a kids worker. You want to get knowledge of how do I best work with kids? What's going to work well for kids? How can I teach these kids in an exciting manner? How can I get these little noisemakers to sit down and listen to a message about God? You know, how can I get them to learn? How can I make it fun, et cetera, et cetera? You know what I'm saying, don't you? And we can look behind us here and listen to our musicians. We know that they've studied, they've learned how to play their musical instruments, and it sounds good. You know, let's get knowledge of the thing that God wants us to have. And I was just thinking this morning about the laser, how it's a concentrated beam of light, and it's powerful. You know, we can have a light like that. And it's not going to do me any damage. But if it's a concentrated beam of light, it can do damage. You know, it can be a powerful thing. In fact, they use it medically for good stuff, don't they? You know, to burn things off. They can use a laser. And we need to be like that. We need to concentrate our knowledge on the thing that God is calling us to do so that we get good at it. Don't get good at something that God doesn't want you to do. Or don't try and get good. Something that God doesn't want you to do, because you'll end up being rubbish. You'll be wasting your time. So it's important that we do the thing that God is calling us to do. Here's the key. If you find out who God is, you're going to find out who you are and what you're supposed to be. And it's all through relationship. And that is a privilege. Okay, let's close our eyes and just focus on God. Still ourselves. And, God wants you to have knowledge of him. He doesn't want it to be heavy. He wants it to be good. He wants you to enjoy it. He wants you to enjoy a relationship with him, to give you that life. Life in all of its fullness. It doesn't have to be heavy. It doesn't have to be a drudgery. He gives love. He gives joy. He gives peace. And, any way that you might be needing God this evening. You know, he's the great creator. He's the almighty protector. But he's also the deliverer. He can deliver us from whatever bad things, bad circumstances we're going through, bad thoughts that we may be having, bad times we may be going through, God can deliver us from them all. He's the great I Am. That means he's there. He's here right now. He's the I Am for you. Even at this moment, he is your good shepherd. He's going to lead you into green pastures and by still waters. You know, if you need that time of peace, he can give you that peace. He's a good shepherd. He's your savior, the one who saves you and the one who anoints you. You need anointing for something, think to yourself, I need God's power. Hey, he's the one that anoints. He makes your cup overflow because he is ample, because he is so generous, because he is never going to run out. He can make your cup overflow and others can enjoy the overflowing of what's flowing into you. He gives us anointing for a purpose. Yeah, find out your purpose that God has got for you and walk in it. And don't be confined to what you know at the moment either. It's something God is kind of speaking to me again and again at the moment. Don't be confined by what you've experienced just at the moment or up to this point in your life. There are other things that God can do for you. Just because you've been used by God in a certain way up to this point, don't let that confine you. You know, that's not your ceiling. God can lift you higher than that. You know, he's in heaven, you know, and you're seated in the heavenly places with him. He can take you beyond all the experiences that you've had so far. There is a greater anointing that he wants you to come into. There are greater things that he wants to show you in your life. Don't limit God by your experiences so far. You know, there are latter-day things that he wants to do for you. You know, there's going to be a greater thing that God wants to do. He's going to need people to go on beyond what they've experienced so far. So don't just contain God in your mind, in your heart. Let him move you further than you've ever been before. New anointings, new giftings, new power for you. And you're going to know that through relationship with him. That's the way Jesus was able to continually pour out the anointing to go on and to heal the blind, to heal the lame, to heal the beggars, to cast out demons by the power of God, because he was in relationship with his God, and daily he was getting a download from God. And there's just like a heart cry from Paul that I want us to finish with, from Philippians 3, verse 8 through to 16. We're going to read it. Just hear Paul's heart. Here he is, this man of God that has taken the gospel out all over the world. He's seen incredible things. He's cast out demons. He's seen people raised from the dead. He's seen whole regions hear the word of God, and he's established churches all over the place, and yet he's writing some of this down. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things, or that I have already reached perfection. But I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. But we must hold on to the progress have already made. Great, and that's a great passage, isn't it? Mm. Every time you read it, you think, stirs you, doesn't it? You know, there is more of God that he wants to get to us. And even a great apostle like Paul was still praying that prayer, even though realistically he was reaching the end of the road, you know, the time when God was going to call him to heaven. He knew that there was more that he needed to know of God, and everything else compared to knowing God was just like garbage. You know, that's the same kind of attitude we've got to have. And we'll see God's kingdom established in our lives and through our lives if we can live like that. Amen. Over to you, Faith.